Knit Weekly.
The weekly knitting news.
This week for our science special edition of The Hub, Knit Weekly is learning about silk. I'm in the zoology department of Oxford University with Dr. Chris Holland, one of the researchers in the Oxford Silk Group.
The Oxford Silk Group is a group in the Department of Zoology here at Oxford University. It's run by Professor Fritz Vollrath, who's been looking at how spiders and silkworms spin silk for over 25 years now. And it's a group consisting of a whole range of diverse different types of scientists from many, many different fields.
Many knitters will be familiar with silk as a shiny, soft material sometimes blended with wool to make luxury yarns. I asked Chris about the main differences between silk and wool.
One of the main differences is actually how it's produced. So wool is grown very slowly over sort of the course of a year, whereas silk is produced on demand. It's instantly transformed from a stored sort of liquid gel inside the animal into a hard sort of protein fibre. And when you actually look at the ultimate sort of material properties, silk is vastly superior to wool in terms of how strong it is, but it's also much, much finer, so it's very, very thin in comparison as well.
The silk we knit with comes from the domesticated silkworm. However, silk can also be reeled from spiders, and the study of spider silk is an important area of work for the Oxford Silk Group. And so they work with the golden orb weaver spider. This is a large tropical spider which produces a richly coloured golden thread. I have always been frightened of spiders, but I decided to brave my fears and meet the weaver spiders anyway.
It is going to be very slippery in here.
Okay.
There aren't that many spiders around. You're going to get a lot of flies flapping in your face, but that's just the way that flies are.
By far and away, the worst thing about the greenhouse is the flies that the spiders eat flying into you.
I think the flies are much worse than the spiders.
Oh, yeah, they're horrible.
I didn't feel at all sorry for the one that Chris threw into the web of a spider.
Right, I've got a whole handful of flies here. There we go. She's in it, straight in. Yeah. She'll go to her spinnerets at the back and get some wrapping silk.
Oh yeah, so she's combing the back of her body with her legs.
And you can actually see, if you come here and look up, you can see the silk fibres coming out.
Oh yeah, I can.
And so that's a wrapping type of silk. Can you see how it's like lots of little, very, very fine fibres?
Yeah.
That's different to the type of silk that makes the structural supports.
In the greenhouse, Chris also got me to tug on some of the large structural lines on one spider's web, so that I could feel for myself the toughness of the dragline silk.
Can you feel this strand? She's not going to run towards you at all, but feel how strong that is.
That is really strong.
Trample it, I mean, it's really quite...
To explain to, like, a listener who can't see, you just pulled it about half a foot,
yeah,
and it doesn't snap.
It just fit. I mean, it's remarkable how sort of strong for how thin something is, and that's the amazing thing, is that this is, remember, about 30 times thinner than a human hair, and it's still really strong.
In the laboratory, I also learned how spiders are silked.
Is this the motor that rotates to take the silk off the spider?
Yes.
And where does the spider go when that's happening?
We pop them down onto little polystyrene blocks, like this.
Yeah.
And then you can take a very thin piece of meshing. You put the spider with the meshing over the top of it, and then just pin the meshing down so the spider can't move and hurt itself. And then you have a little hole in the back. You place the spider on her back, and then you place a little hole in the back for the spinnerets to poke through, and then you just take, using a very fine pair of tweezers, the strand of thread that's hanging out at the end of the spinnerets, and then just pull it off and pop it onto the reel. And there you go. It just starts reeling out of it.
I was extremely excited to see that the Oxford Silk Group have a knitting machine.
The knitting machine is actually owned by one of the spin-out companies, so to say, from the group Oxford Biomaterials, who are looking at making biomedical devices using specially treated types of silk. And at the moment, they're looking at producing these absolutely amazing neural guides using knitting machine that's able to produce an I-cord, which is a very, very tightly but very, very thinly wound tube of silk, very much like a shoelace. And from that, they're aiming to understand and repair broken nerves inside the body.
And the reason that that will work, I gather, is because silk is a protein substance, so the body can kind of understand it. It doesn't reject it, and it can grow neural pathways back along that silk I-cord.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
As well as the knitting machine, I was able to see some of the other medical applications for silk. Though unlike the I-cord, the bone scaffold that Chris showed me was cast from liquid silk and not knitted from silk fibres.
An example of an artificial bone scaffold made out of silk.
It's really light.
So have they taken cocoons and then turned them back into gel and then recast them
exactly,
as this?
Exactly.
The silk that is used for bone scaffolds or neural guides comes from silkworms because it would be very difficult to mass produce spider silk.
The main problem with spider silk is just how do you get that much of it? And because it's so limited in terms of its ultimate resource, you have to reel individual spiders, which is an incredibly time-consuming process.
Speaking personally, the ability to insulate is the main material quality I look for in my yarn. And though I didn't discuss this with Chris, I reckon that even though wool is weaker than spider silk or silk from the silkworm, it's probably a bit warmer. However, my socks wear through at the heels and toes with irritating regularity, and I wonder how spider silk could solve that problem in the future.
Spider silk is an amazing material. It's got all the desirable qualities you would really want in a fibre. So if we're able to reproduce something artificial that has all the qualities of silk, then absolutely, this is a gold standard. This is what we're trying to sort of produce.
So we may be able to look forward to socks with spider silk inspired fibres strengthening their heels and toes in the future. But for now, it is amazing to see how many other things can be done with silk, and how much we can learn from studying this versatile material and the creatures that produce it. Many thanks to Dr. Chris Holland and the entire Oxford Silk Group for making this week's edition of Knit Weekly possible. Check the show notes on our blog for more knitting and science links, and tune in again next week to find out how I get on with finding a Cotswold fleece to knit with.
Knit Weekly.